Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Podcast 114, welcome along. I'm Dan Moylan. With me is Michael Normanton.
Hello.
And Moscow White Daniel Chapman.
Hello there.
Still loads more bitterness and recrimination to come because it's the thing that we do best. Of course, all the usual bits coming up. We'll be looking at Rotherham in a bit. Picking more heroes and villains from this last 7 days and looking at Stoke in just a second. Just a quick heads up that issue 6 is our current issue of our fanzine, which went on sale via Derby, the Bailey Peacock Farrell cover as Frida Kahlo. It's the most highbrow cover we've ever done, as we mentioned last time. You can get that as part of a subscription if you want to support what we do. Digital sub is the equivalent of a quid a month. You can find that. Get yourself a digital subscription at thesquareball.net. Gents, the debate is now over. God officially exists based on podcast 113. This was the test.
It's not the result I was hoping for in more than one way.
How was your Sunday at church? Were they friendly? The vicar welcoming?
I'm scared to go just yet. I'm waiting for further evidence. I'm hoping there'll be some alternative evidence brought to my attention soon.
Satan.
Michael Brown. If you are a new listener, by the way, we're referring to podcast 113 here, in which we said heavily religious manager of Stoke, Nathan Jones. We said if Leeds were to win at Stoke, it would prove that Bielsa was God. However, if Nathan Jones really did have the big man on his side, they would win, and win they did.
And they should be investigated for it, as we were saying as well. If Leeds are being investigated for having an unfair advantage from watching other teams' training sessions, I mean,
an hour, and maybe watching them for an hour. Omnipotence, is there?
God watches them train all the time, doesn't just watch them train, watches them at home. He watches while they're sleeping. He knows when you're... Oh, no, that's Santa Claus, isn't it? But it's the same principle. He's got a list. He's checked it twice. He knows who's been naughty and nice at Leeds. That's Santa Claus again, isn't it? What does God do? How is God different to Santa Claus? Anybody? I didn't mean to get straight into the theological debate this soon.
Perhaps we should just let the listener decide.
That's fair. Nathan Jones's decision to celebrate this in the House of the Lord, or the Bet365 Stadium, marching around their pitch, yelling, "Get the fuck in!" I didn't think it was very Christian of him.
I didn't know he'd done that.
It's not loving your neighbour. Yeah, he went over to their fans and over to their fans at the other end, was pumping the air, and then the cameras caught him quite clearly. I'm no lip reader, but I know when somebody is yelling, "Get the fuck in."
We don't want to drift into Mowbray, Harris, Neil Harris territory, do we, by complaining about people celebrating wins?
No, this is true. Yeah, I'm no Dean Smith. All I'm saying is keep it for church, Nathan. That's where you can go and yell your obscenities to the skies if you wish.
We don't want to hear swearing inside a football stadium.
No.
Absolutely wrong. Marcelo sort of gave out the vibe that we could have won this. Didn't feel like that on Saturday.
Yeah, we could have done. They didn't really create chances particularly. It was a mistake that led to the goal. The second goal you can kind of discount because we were down to 10 men and chasing it and stuff. And Ayling very nearly scored. I don't know. It's like a lot of most games we've lost, other than the West Brom game when we were sort of soundly beaten. Most games we've lost this year could have kind of gone either way. We'd still have most possession. So it matched them for shots, more corners. Yeah, it's fine.
They basically just went three at the back and smuggled Kemar Roofe out of the game in a burlap sack and didn't give Harrison or Clark any space because they had wing backs that went back. So it was like a back five against Kemar Roofe, and that was never really going to work. We just couldn't find him. I think that's why Matthias Glick ended up looking so confused. He couldn't pick the right pass because he got to the edge of the box and he just could not see Kemar Roofe for these three. And I mean, whatever you think, Ryan Shawcross, Ashley Williams, and it's Martin Zindi, isn't he? Three good, decent centre-backs. They're all
Yeah, good we made it very easy for them, I have to say. There were a lot of balls crossed into Roof, and he's, like you say, he's there about 5 foot nine, ten of him or something in the middle.
If that.
Surrounded by three giants, and it's just never really going to work. Unless it's injury time, then he finds the space.
Exactly.
And he did a bit of a job on Bielsa, so proof that all this tactical divulgence, it doesn't pay dividends every time, does it?
Bielsa named his team 2 days before.
As he does.
So that's all basically anyone was really complaining about, is that you know who's going to be playing if you watch training the day before a game. Bielsa just tells you.
And then Jones just switches to something he's never done before. But I mean, it's not as if Bielsa has never seen a team play three at the back and wing backs before. But I think there are certain setups against Bielsa where he just, well, he doesn't change his team. So even if he doesn't name it 2 days in advance, you know what team he's going to name, and you know how they're going to play. And I think he kind of, he relies on the skill of the players to make his system work against a system like that. And that's when you remember that actually Matthijs Glick was bombed out to the Eredivisie last year. Pablo Hernandez, a cold Saturday in Stoke, isn't always his best thing. Jack Clark's actually a child. Jack Harrison still thinks he's on holiday in New York. It was up to them to kind of, it's not up to Bielsa to solve that one. It was up to the players to actually pass the ball to Kemar Roofe and him to score, and they couldn't do it.
I did think a game like this would have been perfect to have Saez on the bench, someone who could come on and provide a little bit of trickery rather than bringing on another child. That's what we were kind of, good to see him giving them a chance, but it's not ideally what you want, is it?
Based on what Moscow just said, and then you said, Michael, as well, it's about shutting down the passing, isn't it? If they stop you passing, we have very few people who can beat a man. Apart from Jack Clark can do it, but it's only one man, boy, child.
And even Clark had a struggle, because with them having three centre-backs, he'd go up against their winger and he'd still have Ashley Williams coming over. They could shuffle over a centre-back, still have two in the middle. So there were two players marking Roofe, meant two players could go and mark him. And for all he is brilliant and will score the winning goal in a World Cup for England in the future, dealing with two markers at once at this age was just a bit beyond him.
I'm sure we'll come on to the ref's performance in a minute. And we do sound like a set of bitter bastards when we single out referees. But first of all, a word on the goals then. Click. Silly that.
Cooper first. I mean, Cooper's header wasn't great. I don't know where he intended that to go. And then Click. Click at least had a choice. Cooper was kind of like, oh, just head this into the air and it might go somewhere clear. Click was like, I will definitely put this into the danger area.
It's like Calvin's pass in the 6 yard box. Was it against Hull?
Yeah. Just a little bit of overplaying. I think Click forgot he was facing his own goal.
And Pontus, does he carry any blame?
As a whole or for the goal?
Well, first of all, he got booked for what? For looking at the ref?
He did get in his face.
Yes.
Because he probably recognised he was a Leeds-hating bastard, so he thought, I'm going to have a shout at him, which is fair enough. Mm. But yeah, that's the sort of thing he used to do all the time, and he's cut it out to an extent.
No.
He has a bit.
Well, was it Twitch that he broadcasts his gameplay in?
Yes, he loves to play a bit of Counter-Strike on Twitch.
That's it, and he broadcast the other night, which we retweeted from the Square Ball account. The words were along the lines, and I'm roughly paraphrasing, but if they deduct us points, man, I'm going to leave this country and start a fucking war.
Yes, I'd forgotten about the starting a fucking war part. Yeah, which I can only imagine is a sort of a version of what he told the referee during the Stoke match. He has been doing it a bit lately, but he's been getting away with it. I think refs have just told him to calm down, you big bozo. But this one was just straight to the cards, wasn't having it. And then the second one, I'm trying to remember the name. Who's the elderly looking referee that they drag out on Sky that's now completely,
Dermot Gallagher,
there he goes. He is confirmed today, said he was sent off for handball. That's what the referee's signal is, that when he fell to the ground, that he shoved the ball with his hand. I think a lot of people who had a good view of it from the away end saw that's what he did. But then Dermot Gallagher also said it was a ridiculous decision to send him off for that, because I don't think he saw it as intentional. And even if it was, the referee let the play go, and that should have been enough. He got through. He had an effort on goal that Bailey Peacock Farrell wasn't even bothered by, just saved it. And that should have been that. There was no need to send anybody off. And if Dermot Gallagher's saying that, then it's better than this jumped-up clown who ruined our day.
If it was a deliberate handball, should it not have been a straight red for denying a goal-scoring opportunity?
I don't know the rules. Neither do I.
We need someone who does, really.
I mean, that ref couldn't even... The wall that he put it's been written down on our prep sheet, it's 12 yards at least. I never seen a wall so far back. And you could see the Leeds players going, what are we doing here? Where are you going to put us? Absolutely ridiculous. And when you've got things like that happening, you do, because that's easy. A referee should know 10 yards instinctively. That's not something they should be getting wrong.
Do you know what else annoyed me about that? The way he draws that line. Watch the clip again, how he draws that line. He's so fucking pleased with himself. He did it in the, he did, there was a free kick he gave them, or maybe it was a throw in somewhere near the halfway line as well. And he did such a pleased with himself little hand movement. Mm. It was like a little dance move, like a yes. And he just wound me up. And I think that was after he'd, well, it wasn't the ref to be fair, it was the linesman had given them that free kick in the corner where the player did the ridiculous hurdling leap in the, with no challenge against him.
Yeah.
And that was given somehow as well.
Even the way that player went down bore no relation to like body physics.
Yeah. You can't, there's no movement that could have propelled him in that way.
The spraying the line thing as well is just that arrogance of its own logic. It's like people could say, that's more than 10 yards. It's, no, it is 10 yards because I've sprayed the line. So there we go. That is now 10 yards. Did you read the thing a few weeks ago about how they had to recalibrate the kilogram and the actual kilogram weight that exists, that is the pure kilogram? That referee probably thinks he's done that with 10 yards every week. Yes, I've just recalibrated what 10 yards is. And everybody all around the country is probably having road signs are being moved. People are changing stopping distances in cars. They're retesting them down the fucking Formula One track because they don't know how they could. Pit crews been.
I think we get what you're saying.
We understand the analogy, I think, there, yeah. But we get what you mean.
Well, does the referee understand the implications of his actions? You can't just change how far 10 yards is willy-nilly.
We're going to have to knock down the south stand to make the pitch bigger.
Exactly.
I want to ask a question here. It's quite a pointed question. Do you think this is something we're going to face now from referees because of all this Spygate stuff?
Never mind now.
Yeah, since 1964.
No, I mean, but even more so in this run-in that there's going to be how do I want to phrase this, subconscious like bias against us. And I know we don't have the rub with many referees anyway.
Yeah, again, I take issue with the word subconscious. It's just conscious bias. It's just bias.
Do you really buy, I mean, seriously, do you buy into that?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I don't want to particularly, but then you do see some ridiculous things going on, and you think there's not a chance that a Stoke player is getting a second yellow for what Janssen did.
And it was very well highlighted by somebody on Twitter, put the video side by side of Janssen being sent off for that, and then was it Fox not getting sent off for Nottingham Forest when he took down Jack Harrison on the edge of the box? And you just put those two things together and you just go, they fucking hate Leeds. There's no, it's the only.
And even in this game, when Hernandez was running through and Allen clipped him, it wasn't a big touch.
Not even a free kick, was it?
No.
When it was borderline for a penalty, everybody's looking, we think we got a penalty. And then you're like, oh no. And you think, well, we should at least have a free kick. Give
and
Hernandez
he definitely
a
touched him as well, because Allen was doing that thing where you're pointing at the ball, which you only do if you've kicked the player first.
Dead giveaway. Nobody's sensible, apart from the likes of Martin Keown, seems to think that a points deduction is coming our way because there's no provision for it in the rules. So you just stop us from winning any more points and the effect's the same. And you can do it a little bit more subtly or, as in this twat's case, not subtly at all.
That's a big call.
That the referees are going to stop us from winning any more points on the instructions of Sean Harvey. It's just a theory. Obviously, I've got no evidence that supports that. It's just something, it's a hypothetical theory that might happen.
That's your opinion.
It's not even my opinion. It's just, it's a possibility, isn't it? I mean, it's a possibility that Sean Harvey could wake up in the morning and his feet are being devoured by snakes. It's, everything is possible. And all we can do is speculate.
I'm worried about what you're going to do after this. Straight over to Harvey's.
That's not what's in that basket over there. I definitely do not have a basket of snakes.
Fans of the last podcast, it might well be a bag of kittens.
Yes, they were fine, but then the snakes got them.
We should probably be a bit less bitter about the referee and say that Stoke did pretty well against us as well.
They certainly set up right. I have to say, you've got to credit them with that.
Compared to Derby, who just looked like they had never seen anything like it before, despite us doing the exact same thing to them earlier in the season. And Stoke as well, on paper, they still do have possibly the strongest team in this division. At the start of the season, we'd have looked at Stoke away and thought it's possibly the hardest game we're going to have. It's just that Gary Rowett has kind of run them into the ground and turned them into a, I was going to say turn them into a dour negative team, but you know what I mean. A non-winning Dower negative team.
Undone all Tony Pulis's good work.
Yeah, exactly. They are good footballers still in their squad.
They were due a new manager bounce. I tweeted that to the lads from the Stoke fanzine, and it happened. Just happened against us, unfortunately. To be fair, we finished the weekend, though, materially not much worse off. I mean, it looks like West Brom, are they beaten Bolton as we recorded?
It was 1-0 before. I mean, Bolton have given up, haven't they? Let's face it.
If they can't beat Bolton, then something's seriously wrong.
They've not been paid since about June or something, have they, most of their players? I'm sure they've not been paying people. The fans were chucking stuff on the pitch.
Their owner's got to the point of banned John McGinley from commentating on them, which is a big move.
John McGinley's a very, like, club legend there as well. So.
Exactly. It's like, I mean,
like trying to ban Eddie Gray or something.
He's not quite touched Kevin Davies yet, but I'm sure that's in the works.
It's still 1-0 anyway, so, you know.
I mean, that's positive as well. If West Brom can only beat Bolton 1-0.
What did we beat Bolton?
Just popped into my mind as I said it. Anywho, but we've still
got the 4-point gap to third place, which is a good thing.
Yeah, with one game fewer, so there were fewer points available for other teams to overtake us, but not that will stop them, because they still will. They'll still overtake us. We'll drop into the playoff places and lose to Derby at Wembley.
You're still convinced that's the outcome? You're not going to accept yet that we are going up?
It'll either be we lose to Derby at Wembley, or I have a feeling we might now get Derby in the playoff semi-finals, beat them in the second leg at Elland Road, and it'll be one of the most extraordinary, fiery, kind of raucous atmospheres that Leeds has ever known, and then we'll lose 3-0 to, don't know, Preston or somebody in the final.
What about you, Michael?
I'm not happy. I'm not week to week. I'm not happy. Football's gone back to either making or ruining my weekends. I had a nice steady patch under Chelino where I didn't have any great expectations. Even in Monk, with the season we were doing well, we never really looked like getting an automatic place. Whereas now dropping into the playoffs would feel like a horrible disaster.
Well, now we've established that God does exist. I had a sign possibly from upstairs on the way in this evening that I need to share with you.
Was it your wife? Is she locked in the toilet?
Not as far as I'm aware. She may well be, but I don't think she is. So, driving in tonight, of all the playlists that Spotify could have suggested for me, do you know which one it went for?
Nope.
Have a guess.
Well, I mean, all I know about your drive here is that you were so desperate for a piss that you drove your car past me at the entrance to the car park, sprinted into the building as if you were being chased by somebody wielding a bag of snakes.
That's what happens, though, once you get to 40 years old.
But is that related to your playlist? Was it the sound? Was it the sound of Fountains of Wayne?
Easy 80s.
Teardrop Explodes? Other water-related songs? I can't think of. The Water Boys? Was it this?
No.
Okay.
Easy 80s.
Oh, right.
Right. Went for that. I hit shuffle play. Could have played them in any order. Do you know, as I passed Elland Road on the way in, do you know what was playing?
No, obviously. Pig Bag, Middlesbrough going up.
Have a guess, go on.
There's Nothing Like This by Omar.
Incorrect. Okay. You're almost there. Do you know what it was? It was Simple Minds, Alive and Kicking.
Oh, well, that was the theme music of the Premier League in 1992-93. So are we going to finish 17th?
No. It means, as I passed Elland Road.
Yes.
On the M621.
Mm-hmm.
That came on. Premier League launch music.
Oh, okay.
So we're going up. I mean, that means Premier League.
I think you're looking for a sign. That's how religion works.
Yeah. So somebody said, "Oh, I've seen a picture of Jesus in my toast. It's a sign from God." It's like
Zoe Ball was on the radio, and she used to do Alive and Kicking. And
in fact, actually, you know, Dan might have a point, because on Saturday night I turned on the television, and do you know what was on? Match of the day.
At this time then, when the world feels like it's against us, what do we want to do to the world?
Tell it to fuck off.
Absolutely right. So how are we doing that?
With a mug.
By the gift of mug and a t-shirt now as well.
Amazing.
They say on them, Leeds carajo.
Yes. Don't perhaps wear the t-shirt on holiday to Spain or any Spanish-speaking countries unless you're prepared for the consequences. I don't know if it can land you a night in the cells. I don't know.
You're fine. Brexit Britain. There'll be no foreign languages here soon enough. You're safe here.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Go to Bridlington. You can't tell me there's anybody in Bridlington that understands what carajo means.
No, so...
Unless you bump into maybe Pablo and his family having a lovely day at the seaside that you ruin.
crying children.
Yeah, Pablo covering their eyes. And then who's going to cover his?
He's seen enough with those eyes.
Yeah. Enough with those eyes. If you fancy getting your hands on one of those sweary mugs, definitely the sweariest mug in the office, check it out via thesquareball.net. On it, it just says Leeds Carajo, which means...
I mean, Google it.
Well, we need to get back to winning ways ASAP. It will happen at Rotherham, so we'll have a look at that. The preview on the way. Heroes and villains coming up, of course, but first... Do we have a little bit of Spygate fatigue now, or do we still have a lot of lead in the pencil that we need to, well, upset and hurt that we need to vent?
I keep trying to let go of it.
I think since last time, we do need to talk about the press conference, because that happened the day after we recorded, I think. Was that Tuesday?
It was Wednesday. Days after, so I think
we missed all that.
This. Yeah.
And it was one of the most remarkable couple of hours I've ever seen. The panic of it setting in, of it was announced as some places at an emergency press conference, and everyone thought, oh, emergencies aren't generally good, are they? You rarely hear of an emergency being called and people go, oh, you've just won some money.
Unless the next line is paging Dr. Beat, in which case it's Miami Sound Machine and it's fine.
It's along the lines of, like, if your landline rings these days, isn't it? That's never a good thing. It's either PPI or a dead relative.
No, police are at the door. okay, what's it about? They won't say. It wasn't what I needed. I'd just been saying to someone that morning, because I had quite a lot on last week, and said, no, it'll be absolutely fine. As long as nothing too crazy happens in the football that I need to start thinking about, this will probably be all right. And then an hour later, it was Joe Urquhart, wasn't it, off the YEP? Urquhart. I'm not pronouncing his name right.
Sorry, Joe.
Under these circumstances, who was the one responsible for emergency press conference, wasn't he?
It was one of those things where people went, he's going to resign, isn't he? And everyone went, no, he's not.
Oh, he's done it before.
I instantly went and found... I was trying to make myself feel better, only make myself feel worse. The press conference he called, that was similarly kind of an emergency thing, to announce his resignation from the Chile job. Only 2 hours, that one. Him explaining why he couldn't do the job anymore.
We need to put him in the villains, really. But who was the complete prick who announced it as he is going to resign?
It was sort of,
Ian Mason, was that the name?
Something like that. It was, I think it's like One Football was the website, which is one of those clickbaity things that you only hear about when they're going like, we're hearing that Bielsa is going to resign. It's like, yes, because your mate is saying it to you so that you can say you're hearing it. Absolute farce. But it was at that point kind of, there was a question as to what this press conference was going to be, because I don't think even the club knew what Bielsa was going to say.
No, there was kind of calmness coming from within the club. We were hearing people were saying, they were telling local media, like, it's just for him to clear up Spygate. But then Bielsa being Bielsa, the way he clears that up could be by just resigning in protest at the fuss created by the whole thing.
Yes, he could have just been about to put an effigy of Frank Lampard into a burning bin. Nobody really knew what his approach was going to be, which in a way is kind of what he did, just in a much more long-running, serious, analytical way. He did burn an effigy of Frank Lampard and all Frank Lampard's doings by just showing everything he'd learned about Frank Lampard's Derby County.
That was, the lead up to that, one of the worst hours of my life, considering I was actually on air at the time. One of the worst hours of radio I think I've ever done.
But then the payoff, because once he started, and once he said at the start what he was about to do, and it became apparent, as soon as I saw the photo of him standing in front of a projected spreadsheet with all Derby County's fixtures on it, and then his desktop with all the video clips, I got it then. He's just going to do a big presentation about what he does, and then you're able to just kind of lean back and just go, thank you, Marcelo. And then you hear what he's talking about, and he says he's spied on every team in Britain.
I was going to say, it didn't start brilliantly when he said that. I thought, oh no. Given your recent analogy there about the police at the door, Bielsa has very much showed himself as a man who'll confess to, the policeman would arrive at his door and he'd start spouting about how he parked in a disabled bay once, and the policeman would be like, it's not about that, sir. There was a neighbour broken into. Well, be that as it may.
That was me as well.
Never before, can I just say, never before have I been so pleased to see a 60-odd-year-old man delivering a PowerPoint in the Spanish language. Good God.
It was wonderful as well. And what his whole point of it was to say, I do all this work and it's inherently useless anyway, so I gain nothing from spying on teams as well. So if I just stop that, the only effect will be I'll be a little bit more anxious about not having done it, but it's pointless for me to be anxious anyway because all of this is stupid. The best part of it is when the one of the other coaches starts demonstrating all the footage they've got of Derby taking their corner kick routines and set piece routines and showing that they've collated every permutation of how they take a corner. And Bielsa just interrupts and says, "Of course, this is all useless because we concede half our goals from set pieces anyway." It's absolutely fantastic that it's, on the one hand, he is delivering a lecture with the depth of, I don't care what Frank Lampard says. Guardiola came out afterwards and said, that's what he does. He does it more intensely than anybody else. And then on the other hand, he's saying, but it really doesn't matter. None of this matters. And if you want to hang me for doing this, you're hanging me for basically doing something that has never helped me.
And I'm loath to give you any credit whatsoever, Moscow, but you did call it absolutely spot on last time when you said it was all, the whole Spygate thing was just all a data acquiring exercise because that data exists and he feels obliged to go collect it.
Yeah, there is nothing in the rules, as it keeps being repeated, against watching a team train from a public path. So this is right. If there's nothing to stop us from doing it, we'll just go and do it. If it's not useful, we just won't even open that report or just glance at it and says, what does it say? Right, couldn't see anything. They were training 100 yards away. Fine, at least, you know, we've covered that. We've seen what we could get out of it. We got nothing. Back to wasting our 360 hours on these corner kick routines that do us no good.
It showed him in a really good light, I think, as well, because he's one of the few football managers to, while showing the amount of effort and work he will put into it, is also willing to acknowledge it is pointless.
Mm-hmm.
As are most jobs, let's be honest. Very few people are willing to admit that, you know, what I do really isn't making a great deal of difference. Mm. But he was just like, we do all this work, there's hundreds of hours, all these people, what difference does it really make? And it's a game, isn't it?
And looking at his character and the things he talks about and what he's done with his wages at Leeds, so we know he's being paid around £2 million by Leeds. He's given $3 million, so it's £2 million plus, to Newell's to build a training facility that he says is a debt that he owes them. So he's essentially working for Leeds for free this season. But he's going to this effort, because as he said, this is what we think we have to do to be professional, to earn every last penny that Leeds are paying him. So he's one of the highest paid coach in our history. At Lille, he was being paid something like £7 million. But even after he'd been sacked by Lille, there's the famous photograph of him sitting in a restaurant with his laptop watching their game on a stream that's being played live just to see how it turns out, because he prepared them for that game and then he was banned from watching it. So every last penny that he's negotiated for in his contract, he will earn. And then you compare it to fucking Neil Warnock.
Yeah, per hour he is paid less than Neil Warnock.
Yes,
I would imagine.
Exactly. And Warnock, who... remember Warnock making his substitutions by phone because he was listening on the radio because he couldn't be asked going to a fucking FA Cup match when his manager of Leeds pretended to be ill. And it was the same with training. Hardly ever attended training because he was just at home leaving it to fucking Kevin Blackwell. And then you see, obviously, there is, I think Pochettino, who is one of his disciples and grew up with him, says now I think at Premier League clubs we might do even more than what Bielsa is talking about because we have access to more information. But he's still at that level. And so take it back to the start of the season when Steve Evans was going like, oh, we'll see how he gets on at a cold winter's night at the New York Stadium in Rotherham, shall we? Fucking Bielsa has got blueprints of every fucking square inch of the New York Stadium in Rotherham. He knows how deep the foundations go. He knows the capacity of the fucking T-bars. He's worked it all out, while Steve Evans, even when he was fucking manager of Rotherham, probably didn't know which way was north.
It's that level of detail, but I think the fallibility that's gone with it all as well that makes him so lovable. Michael, I want to ask you as well. So these teams, because we're talking there about it not being illegal to watch from a path, these teams have all written to the Football League seeking what we will say is full disclosure. But points deduction, it's full disclosure. What do you think of them?
Big crying, fucking snivelling babies. Stop being pathetic. It's happened. We've already said it won't happen again. Just fuck off. Go worry about something else. Some of the teams on it as well, they've got your own problems. QPR have had the cheat to complain. Oh, about £1 billion from financial fair play stuff still.
We've missed one off this list. Millwall are one of the teams you've written.
Of course.
And they were really, we've got the quotes from Neil Harris saying, in all my years in football, I've never seen anything like it. I think it's completely disrespectful to all other teams and the spirit of the game in this country. Fact, you don't think you've done anything wrong is disappointing.
Neil Harris, he's very keen about this country. Earlier in the season when we equalised against him as well, he said, well, I'll let you do, given you're into character.
Their reaction to the goal is completely over the top and it's a disgrace in English football.
Upholding English values.
So obviously they're going to be the first to stick the boot in, and that's what it is. The EFL has said, we are investigating this. What's the point in sending it? Well, we think you should investigate it properly. Thanks, lads. If I was fucking Sean Harvey, I'd be more annoyed at them now, wasting his time with this pointless letter. Oh, you should investigate it thoroughly. What do you think we're doing? Well, Sean, we've seen your work previously. Do a proper job. From that respect, I can kind of sympathise with the clubs kind of insisting that Sean Harvey actually fucking does it. I saw somebody mentioning today, actually, that the Championship is a very unhappy league. If you think about last season, we had Leeds kicking off about Wolves potentially breaking actual rules about third-party ownership and working with agents and stuff. And then you've got everybody up in arms about the FFP stuff. Why aren't you investigating Bolton? Why haven't you sorted out stuff with Lucy Ward case? You've got half the clubs are led by Leeds in revolt over the broadcasting deals. Everybody kind of thinks that Sean Harvey's a twat and should just leave. And then this on top. It's almost a classic Sean Harvey ship that's sailing into these, an iceberg probably, knowing him, in the shape of Ken Bates' head.
Yeah, full disclosure, sounds kind of like, do you think, a low-rent 80s courtroom drama. You could imagine this, couldn't you?
I think it sounds like an erotic thriller starring Shannon Tweed on Channel 5.
And Marcelo Bielsa.
The pensive Argentinian.
Yes, cracking out his, projecting a spreadsheet on the wall with all her vital statistics.
Younger listeners won't remember the many erotic thrillers that were the staple of Channel 5 in its early days.
Do you think Marcelo Bielsa is part of his video vaults? He's got every game that's ever been played in South America and it's just a section for the Red Shoe Diaries.
It'd be very easy to hide stuff within this collection.
Has anybody checked what's in those boxes? You're going to say, oh yeah, I've worked it out so I can watch two football matches simultaneously. Ah, that's what they think.
It's clearly all football matches though, isn't it?
Salim, lock the door.
I mentioned court anyway because you get the feeling that if they were to be daft enough to try and deduct us points that Leeds United would go mega legal on this.
Yeah, I mean, we'd have every reason to. There's no actual rule against it. The whole thing has been so ridiculously prejudiced by the many statements by multiple owners and people involved in this that it'd be impossible for anything like a fair hearing to be had anyway.
That Bristol City chump, their owner, whose chief executive, the guy he employs, is on the EFL board saying that we should have a points deduction. What's that guy from Bristol City on the board going to say? Don't think a points deduction. Well, that's not what your boss was saying last week. Points deduction, fine. It's just, it's ridiculous. And you can't have this many opinions floating around from people with vested interests. It's fine for... if Millwall want to be part of a letter sending it to Sean Harvey and saying, please do a thorough job, but then in the press, shut the fuck up.
The good faith rule is such a ridiculously loose rule. What if we go into Swansea now and offer them £3 million for this Daniel James character and they go, yeah, go on then. And we went, oh, we did say we'd go up as high as five. We'll give them five.
Yeah.
That's the good thing to do. That's the right moral thing to do. We don't want to underpay for him, do we?
No.
We're all agreed, aren't we? And yeah, you know, the Stoke player diving in the corner, Stoke should really come out and apologise for that because that's not in good faith.
That would be good faith. And they should maybe offer to replay that game because Pontus Janssen's red card, if that hadn't happened, he could have blocked that cross for the final goal, 1-1 draw, and completely different. So the circumstances, they should say, yeah, we recognise that referee wasn't very good. Is it had a good faith with Leeds? We want to have a good relationship with them going forward. Let's play that match again.
We've had a few players injured as well. They should really wait for our injured players to become fit again to make it a good fair fight.
But the January transfer window, there's still 10 days of that left. We could sign this Daniel James character and we'd have a much stronger team. So surely Stoke and Rotherham as well, they should be delaying the games until we've signed these players and we're ready to play them.
The whole point with that, the good faith thing, is that because it's undefined, you can't start now weaseling specific things that are in and specific things that are not. can you? You can't make up a rule and apply it retrospectively.
It's just a ludicrous, broad rule, which is doesn't stand up to any scrutiny.
Which nobody probably thought would ever need to be invoked. It's fine. I'll just put something in there about all the teams have got to respect each other and act in good faith, and it'll be fine. Nobody thinks it's ever going to come up. But then when they're desperately looking for something to actually charge Leeds with, it's like, all we've got left is this good faith thing. Book them, Danny.
It's the sort of soft shit you expect to see in like an under-12s league. You know, just everyone be nice to each other. Below it, there'll be a subsection about parents not swearing or something.
Yeah.
It's that sort of pathetic thing. That it's a competitive sport, and the fact that it's not nice is really a lot of the appeal of it.
And it's how far does that good faith thing extend? Does it extend to the supporters? Should we all be holding hands in the stands and singing nice songs about each other?
Applauding each other's substitutions and...
Jolly good goal, Stoke. Well played. I mean, the only...
It appears to be time-wasting. Well, let's not get too cross.
The only example of good faith...
There's fault on both sides here.
The only example of good faith in that match on Saturday was Matches Click heading the ball into the path of their player. I think you guys should have the lead. Here you go. Have the ball. See if you can...
Corinthian
beat
spirit.
Bayley. Yeah, exactly.
Back to the Corinthian spirit, chap.
It's just ridiculous. To be fair, there is an interesting angle on Norwich, is that while they are complaining on the one hand, Daniel Farke, their actual manager, has been out in the press saying that he wouldn't watch somebody else's training sessions and he doesn't think that's right to do, but also he doesn't think it's a big deal. He said, like, he's kind of backed Bielsa up in a way, saying there's not a lot you would gain, and if you're 100 metres away, you probably can't tell the players apart anyway, and nobody comes up with a new... like significant tactic in training on a Thursday or Friday that you won't have seen in a game already. So it's like, it's fine as far as he's concerned. Meanwhile, Delia's going, absolutely, she's going to have Marcelo's giblets in her oven.
Christ.
What an image. Let's move on then, on to more positive matters. And we touched on Daniel James there, our exotic Spanish winger from, where is he from? Beverley.
Yeah.
That was it. He is the key. He won't go away as a rumour. I think that's probably the right way to put it.
Have you seen what their striker, Ollie McBurney...
Once of this parish.
Yes. Well, allegedly a Leeds fan as well. He said today that he's going to lock this Daniel James in a cupboard and not let him leave. And he's told him that he has to stay, but he also called him DJ.
That's not good faith, is it?
No, it's not. You can't...
Locking a player in a cupboard.
I mean, that can't be good for his career development either.
That certainly looks like it's very much on. Also, big rumours of a number 10. Premier League loan, apparently, if we are to believe the rumours.
Are there any names in the frame? I haven't heard this.
Nope.
Sounds like a clickbait story.
Yeah, so you...
Premier League number 10 could be on his way to Leeds. Click here to not find out.
Well, I suspect the Premier League number 10 will be number 10 in our squad for that position anyway, rather than an actual number 10 from the Premier League. I suspect his number might start in the 30s or 40s.
But still, we do need someone like that, because Pablo's not been quite right recently. And plus, we could put Pablo back on the wing and put Harrison back to Manchester.
Out to pasture.
I think that would be good.
He's
all
trying. He's a young man.
He's trying.
Although with that in mind, if we have DJ, he might be taking that place on the wing anyway. So Hernandez maybe, because Hernandez always played better at 10 if you had Saiz. Well, better on the pitch if you had Saiz with him. So somebody who can actually run a bit and has a bit of life, whether it's DJ, whether it's Izzy Brown, if he continues coming back, just somebody around Pablo who can do a bit of the
Did we check the end of the... reserve game. I assume Izzy Brown has gone off injured.
Well, as we get into that, it is worth pointing out that this was Kiko Casilla's proper debut. Last week he was at the Bernabeu. This week, Tadcaster Albion.
But what a crowd. 2,900 people at our under-23s cup match. I hope somebody's asked Kiko, have you ever known an atmosphere like that, Kiko? And I hope he was polite enough to say no. And
I was
then
pleased
just
to
laugh.
Hear he was shouting at the defence in English, though, apparently.
That's more than Bailey Peacock-Farrell does. He just stares at them in silence.
We didn't touch it from the Stoke game, actually. Bailey Peacock-Farrell not being bothered about being shouted at by Pontus Janssen.
Absolutely beautiful.
Just turned away from him.
Did you see the video I made of that?
No.
Oh,
well, this is a sequel. A sequel to your hate-mongering video trying to damage a young man's morale before he's even got his career up and going. This is this video you released in the summer.
Absolutely 100. No, it was before he made his debut when I was saying perhaps Heckingbottom needs to protect him, bearing in mind that he looked like he couldn't catch a balloon at York, and that people who had never seen him play were saying we should throw him in as a replacement for Wiedwald.
And what was the thrust of your video? It was he will never succeed at Leeds and I want him out.
No, it was that perhaps he may not be ready and we should protect his young puppy dog face, and that's before I realised that actually I'd not seen his reaction to any of those goals at York when I'd seen him just didn't even notice he conceded them, come off the pitch like, good 3-0 win today, lads, another clean sheet in the bag. Everyone's looking at him like, what about the three that just bounced into your goal? They don't count. Yeah, the sequel to that, I set it to the music, a Super Fur Animal song of
you're doing that a little bit too much for my liking at the minute.
Setting things to music?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Titanic meme has never gone out of fashion, and I like to feel I'm developing it.
You did a Wigfield one earlier in the season, so...
Yes, developing it, improving it. Wigfield makes everything better.
But yeah, Saturday night, what's on Saturday night? Match of the day, Omens.
Another sign. Yeah, there were a few finer moments in the Stoke game than Janssen yelling at Bailey Peacock-Farrell and him just turning his back and marching in the other direction. And you can see, if you look at Janssen's face as he is walking away, the pure rage in his eyes. Like, one, he's already angry about whatever he felt that Bailey Peacock-Farrell had done wrong. Then two, and now he's fucking ignoring me as well.
Don't you walk away from me.
Yeah.
I'm your father. Come back here.
Never mind starting a war over a points deduction. He's going to start a war on Bailey Peacock-Farrell at some point.
Do you think Kiko Casilla has come to sit on the bench, and will he replace Bailey Peacock?
It's all he did at Madrid, sit on the bench, so I don't see why it should be any different
Spanish
here.
Stuart Taylor.
Yes.
Just loves it there. No, he's surely going to play from this weekend, I would guess.
I wonder if it depends on Peacock Farrell like having a bad game, so it gives Bielsa the opportunity to say, that's the one where you're out.
But then we're potentially 3 points worse off.
And also, the longer that Bielsa leaves it before putting him in, the longer it leaves Bailey Peacock-Farrell to arrange to have Casillas' leg broken, as he hypothetically did with Jamal Blackman. Coincidentally, of course. So that could happen as well. The more under-23 games Casilla plays, the more chance Bailey Peacock-Farrell has of just staying in the team.
People who encountered Bamford said that he was going to be back for the Norwich game, all being well.
That's good. And then Berardi.
Yeah.
See, that gives me some fear for the Bamford comeback as well, because Bamford's already come back, got injured again. Izzy Brown's come back, got injured again and had a setback. And then Berardi started for the under-23s in this game at Tadcaster tonight, off before half-time with an injury.
Maybe that's why this number 10 from the Premier League, maybe this is why we're never going to find out who it is. Spare parts. Just going to break him apart, take what they need.
Yeah.
Slip a bit into Pat, bit into Izzy, bit to Gitano.
I think Tano just takes what he wants from whoever's coming into
it. It's worth saying with Berardi, he wasn't too injured because he did boot the dugout on the way off, apparently.
Yeah. Which is.
I imagine Tadcaster will be billing us for.
I don't know if it'll be repairable. We'll probably have to close the stadium down. But it's a shame because I was hoping he'd be back for the Rotherham game and be able to. Meet out whatever justice he feels is necessary against his bête noire, the team from the Rother Valley, who he never has a good time against. They're always trying to rearrange his face. He needs to rearrange their testicles forthwith.
I don't think playing or not playing is going to have any bearing on that whatsoever. He'll still do it.
There's one chuckle brother left. He's got his eyes on him.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com.
Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And we will get on to Rotherham shortly, but first of all, this, one of our favourite bits of the podcast because it involves finger pointing and celebrating people as well, though. Heroes and Villains First, Villains, the Ken Bates Villainy Award, conceived to award to somebody who's made us feel sad. Ken Bates always gets a nomination. Why is he having one this time? What a guy.
Today, the day we are recording, is apparently the 14th anniversary of the day that he took over Leeds United Football Club. And still, my hate for him has not subsided and will never subside until I am dancing on his grave.
There are adults in the world who only really remember the Leeds United Ken Bates created.
That's a sad thought. I have to say, it's probably the lowest I've ever been as a Leeds fan, the whole Bates era. I hated it.
And from the moment, it was just too much Chelsea.
Well, ironically, it is known as Blue Monday today, isn't it? The most depressing day of the year. Seems fitting somehow.
I believe that was instituted 14 years ago. They made this date. Will forever be remembered, associated with Ken Bates, insisting that we're going to have a lower laugh, which was a lie.
I've got the save Leeds United.
The first of many lies.
And while we are a full week on from Spygate, it feels like there are still some late runners and riders who we need to give a nod to.
I'd like to nominate Robbie Savage for supporting Marcelo Bielsa and making me agree with him. I don't ever want to be in a position where I'm actually agreeing with Robbie Savage about something.
Gary Neville as well.
There's a few. Like, I'm quite comfortable living in a world where me and Dean Saunders are on opposite sides of an argument. But when suddenly you're like, hark, is that Robbie Savage I can hear coming to back me up?
I don't know if Robbie Savage is...
That was an invitation to do your impression of him, you
twin. Yeah. It's just general noise.
It's one of my favourite sounds in the world when you do it. I hate it when he does it.
He was described as a honking goose, wasn't he? By, I can't remember who it was now, but I saw that somewhere.
I can only think with Savage that he's seen the swell of opinion amongst other good, honest ex-pros like himself and has thought, I'm a controversial man. I'm going to go the opposite. He's kind of thought, this will annoy. Oh, here we go back, Mick Keown.
Keown is my other nomination out of the back of all this, just because, one, everything he says as a pundit just sounds like it's, or he's been saying it for 100 years as soon as he starts speaking. Two, because he has been going on and on and on about this. I don't know whether it's people keep asking him for his opinion, whether he keeps phoning people up to give his opinion, or just he started giving his opinion and he has naturally stopped. People just like get a fader and tune it up and down. It's Martin Keown still going on about, well, I think it's disgraceful and it's terrible, and Michael Brown kicked that ball at me that one time and we just don't want it in the English game. And I remember when George Graham had us drilled with an offside trap and we never asked what those brown envelopes were in his office, so I don't see why this should be allowed to stand. They just got bloody on and on and on. One, he should never be allowed near a radio because he's got nothing interesting to say in his
face
awful radio
now.
Voice. And two, he should never be allowed near a television because he frightens the children. And three, he should not be allowed to talk about Leeds United because of points one and two. And he shouldn't be allowed to talk about fair play because of fucking George Graham.
I suspect his dislike of Leeds goes some way back to, it might have been the 90s, was it, when we were singing the songs, Keown is an ugly C-bomb.
But we sound like about Yapstam as well, so it's, you know...
And do you think Keown disagrees fundamentally with it? Or do you think he looks in the mirror and goes, I'm not bad, am I? For my age? Still doing all right. Better than Steve Bould on a good day. Add Dean Saunders to this list as well. Not particularly because he's fairly insignificant, but just if anyone heard his cringeworthy attempts to speak to Phil Hay on TalkSport, where he attempted to argue, even in non-league, he was doing all this. I think, as is the case with a lot of people giving an opinion on this, they've not looked into it at all. People giving an opinion on Bielsa's press conference hadn't watched it at all, hadn't looked at any of the content in it. Saunders just heard the word analysis and went, I did that.
Yep. A couple of work experience kids with a laptop, wasn't it?
Yep. It's like Bielsa's got a team of
20 people.
20 people like who do this full time and have done this full time for a long time. And Dean Saunders seemed to think like it was the exact same thing as I had.
Yeah.
It's a bit like, you'd probably be like, I've got a computer. And NASA are saying they've got all these computers. I've got a computer at home.
Well, that's it. I mean, you could give me a set of watercolours, but I'm not going to knock out a Picasso, am I?
No. And Saunders is just indicative. He's taking the brunt of this for a whole slew of managers with this weird inferiority complex who've all come out and gone, well, we do all that. Even though you've got Pep Guardiola saying no one had this sort of data. And that's fucking Pep Guardiola saying that. That's not Dean Saunders, who's managed Doncaster, I think, were the best club he's ever managed.
And he did that badly.
Exactly. Yeah. He had all that analysis, which those two 16-year-old lads had knocked out for him.
They had a really good computer, though, those kids.
Oh, it had Windows XP on it and everything. It was right up to date. He had all that, and he still couldn't win a poxy game for Doncaster. Pathetic.
We've got the Stoke City ref down as well, who couldn't analyse a ruler. That's my objection to him.
Inability to judge distances.
We should knock Frank Lampard back on it as well, probably, just for continuing to talk about it as well.
Yeah, because we didn't deal with his whole passive-aggressive reaction to Bielsa's press conference, which he said as well, he hadn't seen it, when he swaggered into the media room after they'd beaten Southampton. Did they win on penalties, or was it... So they won on penalties in the League Cup? No, it's FA Cup replay, wasn't it? Taking his jacket off and going like, oh yeah, I'm going to do my analysis now. Yeah, yeah, funny that, isn't it? When he really has no idea who he's up against. He just still doesn't know. And yes, the whole binning off the fullback that Jack Clark ran rings around, sent him back on loan to Aberdeen, and bringing in Ashley Cole to solve his left-back problem.
That's how the analysis has worked for him. He's run all the numbers from the 2003-04 season. And he's come up with Ashley Cole.
All the numbers from his phone book. That's what he's done. He's gone, oh, who have I got that's a mate that can help me? And if he wants to present him as part of the vanguard of new young British coaches who can perhaps make a contribution to world football like Marcelo Bielsa has done, then you don't start it by just going, oh, I think I need a better left back than that kid. So I'll just ring Ashley, see what he's doing. It just lacks any imagination, style. If you want to talk about class in the English game, just go in and get some 30 or 8 year old who thought he'd retired in LA already, is now just going to spend 3 months in Derby. It's not long term planning, and it exposes. We were talking just before about how Marcelo Bielsa earns every last penny of whatever club or country is paying him for his work. Frank Lampard isn't doing anything at Derby County to help Derby County long term. He's helping himself to try and get a job in the Premier League. Ashley, if you help me get Derby promoted, because once I'm in the Premier League, I might have a shot at the Man United job if Solskjaer don't want it. That's where he's fucking thinking. Whereas Marcelo Bielsa has he doesn't stay at clubs very long, but he doesn't have another job in mind. He's not thinking about the next job. He is 100%. How do I give everything I've got to Leeds? Is there a minute in this day that I have not contributed to making some 15-year-old at the academy better so that when I'm gone, that will still continue? What good is fucking signing? What's he even fucking called? That
Ashley Cole.
Ashley fucking Cole. Might as well go and get...
Well, he could reunite all the lads who went to Ayanapa, right? The hashtag lads who went to Ayanapa in, was it 2000, 2001, and had a right old time by the looks of it.
I've been reminded of other things he was involved in as well, and Jody Morris. They were disciplined this is a fact. They were disciplined for, to keep on the right side of the law, I wrote down a quote from a newspaper report at the time.
That's fine then.
That drunkenly abusing grieving Americans, sneered and laughed at grieving relatives after the New York attacks. And Chelsea were on a trip there and they were all just pissed up.
I remember it well. And what has been neglected throughout this whole thing with Derby, which somebody pointed out to me on Twitter and just reminded me, Frank Lampard's assistant manager at Derby County is Jody Morris.
Yes.
So if you want to talk about standards in football, he is still, as far as I'm aware, legally, he signed a non-disclosure agreement after leaving Leeds because of everything that went on. There was allegations of...
Shenanigans. Should we call it shenanigans? Yes, let's call it shenanigans.
If he's not legally allowed to talk about it, I think we have to be very careful as well. But who gets to a career where people are writing an article about his career, says, and then he moved from Chelsea, and then he had 3 months at Leeds United where he is legally not allowed to speak about what went on, and then he got the assistant manager's job with Frank Lampard. It's just, these people are fucking horrible, and they're installing themselves as the moral guardians of football, whereas Marcelo Bielsa is as close to a saint as a human being can possibly be, and they're lambasting him as if he's besmirched their good name.
And Lampard has followed up now with, after the other week when he was basically denying that Mourinho had ever spied on people, even though his assistant from the time said, I used to do this all the time. it's timed quite nicely this week as well, because Mourinho's chosen to retell the story of him being in the laundry hamper for the Chelsea Champions League game. Again, he was banned for a proper ban. This wasn't a thing. He probably shouldn't be there, but he was. He was definitely not allowed to be there, but he was in the stadium. And Frank, I imagine he'll just deny this ever happened. I'll claim a laundry basket spoke to him and it was not his. he was unaware of any wrongdoing. It wasn't quite like people have reported.
Maybe the voice of God just lurking in a laundry basket. Listen, we need to move on probably from this one, I think, because we're in danger of retreading old ground. But
well, we haven't mentioned as well Derby County's job advert over the weekend for a data analyst.
Wonderful.
Which went up and has. I checked for it again today. That Now page is showing up a. They've withdrawn that advert, I think, because they had a lot of applications from the Leeds area with people perhaps not necessarily with the qualifications they were seeking.
Returning to the Villainy Awards, it feels only natural since we gave it to Frank Lampard Senior last week that we don't want to deny his son the same honour this week. Is that fair?
No, because he'll get it. Everything he's ever had is just a hand-me-down from his fucking family anyway. He's never had to fight for anything or work for anything hard in his entire life. So he'll have that award anyway. It's fine. So he's already got it by extension.
I feel like Keown's never been really involved before.
No.
And I always hated him.
A fresh face, if you like.
Anything but...
Because he was a big part of when Alan Smith first broke into the team. It was Smith versus Keown and Adams almost every time we played them, which I'm sure is a contributing factor in this. He keeps seeing that, having a go at his drunken fucking centre-back partner. Which is another thing we need to take into account whenever Martin Keown's laying down the law on the morality that he played in central defence with a fucking drink driver. Never had a problem then, did he? So Martin Keown, for a long life of hypocrisy and boredom.
And it must be said, being an ugly
That was the chant. Shall we pick ourselves an Andy Hughes hero, recognition of somebody who's brought us some joy this last week?
I want to go Lamrani. I noticed a further picture of him grinning in a press conference. I think he's been working on the pecs as well. Not just the arms anymore.
He's quite a beautiful man.
It's all coming out there.
Quite a beautiful man.
Been working on the emojis as well. Did you see his...
Yeah, that's what he's really nominated for. Just his low-key, I don't know what you'd call it, just pointing out certain things is all he's doing.
With the...
thinking face, a little... that's funny, isn't it?
When I looked into... Because obviously Salim Lamrani has a track record with Bielsa and he's written a lot. He's an academic, so he writes a lot about the...
We don't need that in the English game.
We don't. He writes about the US-Cuba relations. And some of I had a look at what he's written about Marcelo Bielsa historically and spent a long time reading a long essay outlining every refereeing grievance from Bielsa's time at Marseille that, according to Lamrani, he totted up how many points that cost him and worked out that they would have been, I think, just a point off winning the league if this hadn't have happened instead of finishing fourth. So when he started doing this on Sunday, of just highlighting on Twitter every sort of video of a refereeing decision going against Leeds, I think that'll just be the edge of the iceberg with what Lamrani has actually totted up. If you thought Bielsa's lecture last week was impressive, wait until we get to the end of the season and Lamrani is able to do his own and just stand up and said, right, now I have proved to you the conspiracy that the US hegemony holds over Cuba. Now I will show you the conspiracy that the Sean Harvey hegemony uses to keep Leeds United down.
I bet his PowerPoint will have like animations in it and stuff like that. It'll be kind of next level stuff.
It'll probably end with us all in the woods, like Che Guevara mounting a... military coup upon the Football League headquarters. That's where I'm, and I will be right behind him.
I was going to say, to be fair, I don't think we're far off anyway, are we? Well, if those were the metaphorical two fingers at the whole Spygate thing, we had a literal two fingers. Probably worth giving a mention to Stewie Dallas for, if you haven't seen these yet, the photographs that the Mirror, a newspaper in England, took of the Leeds players training at Thorpe Arch. Stewart Dallas caught wind of it, flicked the V's at them.
I mean, we could have nominated the Mirror for the amongst the many villains of this.
I forgot that happened, actually.
Let's go and take some photos.
But we know it doesn't matter, so we're not going to be hypocrites about this.
And what I liked about Stuart Dallas's response to this, because there's a few players, when they said in the report, it says, when the players spotted us, I think that probably they will have gone, oh, we haven't got a reaction. We need to get a reaction. Lads, we're here. So a few of the players did what I like to call the binoculars, the matches click popularised at the end of the Derby game. They said that I think Barry Douglas started filming them with a GoPro and all this kind of stuff. Stuart Dallas just turned around and stuck two fingers up in the air at them. If fucking Frank Lampard had just done that 10 days ago before any of this nonsense happened, we wouldn't be where we are. It's the perfect response. Just as I said last week, tell them to fuck off. Stuart Dallas got the message. Up yours.
Obviously, Marcelo has to be a hot favourite for retaining his crown, his Hero of the Week award last time, because this time he delivers a beautiful PowerPoint and turned all our feelings from absolute wild panic into unbridled joy.
He shouldn't do it again, though. Don't come out with something. Just have the press conference, fine. Call it an emergency press conference. But it's a definite I'm not leaving press conference.
Emergency tactical press conference.
Yeah. I'm having a press conference to discuss the whole Spygate issue without resigning. Definitely. I won't change my mind halfway through either.
I mean, do you think?
I mean it.
Do you think when he hears this, this might be the thing that persuades him if he retains this award?
I imagine Lamrani sits faithfully translating every word of this to him.
And for that, I'm more tempted to award it to Lamrani this week, because Bielsa could have gone in for villain just for that hour where he basically played our heartstrings like an old guitar.
And there's a good 2 hours of productivity that was lost across the Leeds economy when that was going on, because everyone was just sat refreshing Twitter going, oh God. Oh, actually, Pontus needs to be on this list as well, because he was the one that broke the news that kind of calmed everyone down when he retweeted the guy saying he was leaving to say, oh, is it April 1st in your office?
Yeah, that was pretty
everyone
good.
Everyone kind of went, oh, right, well, Pontus probably knows.
Pontus thinks he's staying, that's cool. But yeah, Bielsa was a bit borderline. I did not need those 2 hours. And having spoken, you've just made me think, we talked about him earning every last penny from a club. He probably now needs to think about his next year's wages going back into the Leeds economy just to try and make up the shortfall of what he actually cost the city and the region as a whole.
But he's still a hero.
Yeah, I want to give it Lamrani this week, mainly because I fear the repercussions of his biceps if we don't give him an award at some point. Your essay about all the Marseille refereeing conspiracies was absolutely fantastic. Really love your work, Salim. Please don't punch us. And, you know, we will follow you into the military assault against Sean Harvey's bunker, just as long as you go first, because you're considerably stronger than any of us.
Don't know about you, lads, but I quite hope that we win on Saturday. Fancy that?
Yeah.
It would be nice. I'm up for winning a match.
It feels much better when you win. That's what I've discovered this weekend.
I mean, maybe this is the game where Jack Harrison rips it up going back to New York.
Yes, the New York Stadium. You may feel right at home. We have to beat Rotherham. They are actually dead bottom of the league, aren't they? There can't be a team worse than them. Is it
Bolton? I think Ipswich are probably worse.
Had a look, and they are 21st. Yeah, they're just about bottom, but not quite.
And they're getting worse as well. I looked through their form, and sort of over autumn and Christmas, they were drawing a lot of games, and now they've started losing a lot of games, and that's not a good sign for a team. And yeah, they lost 5 of their last 6.
The 21st in a division that's got Ipswich and Bolton in as well. Ipswich, who have been down since about the second game of the season.
Much to Mick McCarthy's amusement.
Bolton, who aren't paying their players. And then Reading, who've got Lewis Baker.
What is a good to note about Rotherham, though, is that one of their 2 wins since middle of September was against Derby.
Who?
Frank Lampard's Derby County.
All right, yeah.
That them specifically. I know there's a chance that we may become like bitter and obsessed about what goes on at the baseball ground these days, but I am very pleased that that's one of the teams that Rotherham have beaten, especially if it means that they miss out on the playoffs or something by 3 points. I'm sorry, I'm just extrapolating my fantasy about Frank Lampard in pain.
One thing we've found from doing this section repeatedly now is we don't know very much about football.
No, especially not about Rotherham. I did do my usual thing. I had a look at whoscored.com, but I can only assume that they're that bad that they've just deleted the page. There's nothing really to say about Rotherham, nothing, no interesting things I could glean about them. They're just really, really shit at football. They lost 7-0 to Manchester City in the FA Cup. I don't care how good Manchester City are. No second division level team should be losing 7-0 to a first division team in the FA Cup. It's just not on. We would not lose 7-0 to Manchester City if we played them. We'd beat them. Do you remember when Bielsa was saying earlier in the season that he goes to sleep at night? He says, every night when I go to sleep, I imagine my team is beating Liverpool. This Leeds United team beating Liverpool. And I think we would not lose 7-0 to Manchester City.
Probably not.
We would not.
We would not necessarily beat them.
Not this season, but maybe next, depending on how things go. Do you know what I always associate with Rotherham? I always associate it with the old ground where they had the scrapyard next to the stadium. So it makes me think of a scrapyard.
Yes, with the cranes in the background. Very picturesque, certainly for those parts. I mean, they're still managed just by the physio that they just gave the job to, because he was like an enthusiastic chap, managed to get them up through the playoffs. So what I do know about Rotherham is that when I watched them in the playoff final, I quite enjoyed seeing Steve Evans's having to talk about the day and having to be positive when you could see that he was absolutely seething inside. That essentially what everybody was saying is that this jumped up physio had taken the team that Evans ruined and taken them back up to the division where they not belonged, but the division where they'd been.
They make getting out of League One seem quite easy, which is quite annoying because it took us ages.
Yeah, they do it all the time.
They don't ever stay, but you know, they have a few years, go back down. Don't seem to bother them.
Don't bother them in Rotherham. You can tell I couldn't name a single Rotherham player.
Leo Fortune West. I don't know.
I didn't mean in history. I mean, I could do that.
Okay. Can you name another? Go on, then name one.
Or in history?
Ever.
Did Glyn Snowden play for them? I think he might have done. Or was it Doncaster? I knew he came up at Doncaster with Billy Bremner. Another Rotherham player. I'm thinking of that. No, it's that guy who played for Hull, the striker Andy with the mullet, who used to like play for all those
Booze. Things.
Marshall.
Andy, no, not Andy Marshall either. It'll come to me much later.
Pandy.
Rotherham players. Who was the guy that elbowed Berardi's face off? He was quite famous. He'd played for some good teams and he was playing for Rotherham.
Leon Clark.
Leon Best.
Leon Best.
Yes.
This is dreadful.
There we go. We've named...
I think this might need editing.
We've managed to name two Rotherham players. It's probably, given our lack of knowledge and or respect, are we showing good faith to Rotherham here? We just need to beat them because otherwise this could come back to bite us badly.
We need to beat them as well to avoid the Steve Evans clip being played where he's saying, can be able to do it at the New York Stadium, because there's nothing worse than losing to Rotherham and then having to cope with fucking smug Steve Evans.
Just ignoring the fact that we're top of the league and everything that we've done. I told you he didn't know this league. We don't need it. I think we need to do to them what Man City did. It needs to be a 7-0. That's what I want from this. If Kiko wants to make his debut in this match, Bailey Peacock Farrell up front, hat trick, double hat trick. It's all the same to him. And just absolutely hammer this pitiful... pitiful excuse for a team.
I can just imagine in 7 days' time this coming back to bite us on the arse.
Always had a lot of time for Rotherham. Good club, great manager.
Good bunch of lads.
Some good quality players who you wouldn't expect. Now we're winning this. We'll be back to winning ways. We'll be back to winning 7-0, 8-0. Let's do one better than Man City.
That was sort of bordering on like a Where's Yeovil t-shirt level of disrespect.
I don't even know why we should be forced to play these teams. There's no real... Why is Marcelo Bielsa being forced to compete against a jumped-up physiotherapist and his players?
I've also had to just check that Leo Fortune West did play for them, because I've said it really confidently and I thought, looking at his Wikipedia, he played for pretty much every team.
I can name the sponsors, Parkgate, Hampers. Was it Hampers or was it an industrial estate?
You can't name the sponsors.
Well, Parkgate. I mean, I don't have to know what they do. And it was when they had the kit, had the sort of the white diamond pattern on red. So I can talk about that. Just don't expect me to know anything about them now. We're top of the league. They're not.
Probably never play them again after this season.
Ever in history.
Same with Derby County, I guess.
No, fingers crossed.
Issue 6 is our current edition of our fanzine, which is out now. You can pick that up online and at Elland Road as well. Easiest thing to do as well if you fancy getting the digital version. Pick it up as part of a digital subscription, which works out at the equivalent of £1 a month. You can find the merch and all that stuff about subscription at thesquareball.net. Well, that wraps it up for this time. I dare say at some point, maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, we'll start talking a little bit less about spying and Marcelo Bielsa. In fact, we're always going to talk about Marcelo Bielsa on this podcast, aren't we?
4 or 5 years after he's left, I think. I think why I hope for the weekend is that we don't have to talk about spying or the analysis done on Rotherham, is because this will be the one match that he hasn't done any for. No point. The fucking rubbish. So he's not done any. Marcelo Bielsa said, yeah, actually, after all the criticism, had the week off.
I've just realised very, very late, but you should be our hero of the week, Moscow, because you're finally saying Marcelo and not Marcello.
I meant to actually nominate myself for villain for saying it wrong for so long. It's as well as it's like, you know, I think I've told you before, but I can't say the word carousel. Instinctively, I want to say carousel. And it's just the same. It's the same with Marcello.
John Carousel.
Exactly. It's fucking stupid, but it's just the way I am. I spent about 300 hours since the last podcast practicing Marcelo.
He's got belt marks all over his back. He's been self-flagellating to get it into him.
So I'm sorry about that, but I've taken corrective measures and I'm back on track now.
When I saw someone mentioning it, I did think it could be me that had done it.
You did drop a Marcello last time.
Did I?
It's very tempting.
It's probably because I'm sat with him all the time, pouring his idiotic poison into my ears. I'll be saying Caruso as well.
Let's not even get started on these as well. Final word and a final plug for the mugs. It's not Leeds Carajo, Leeds Carajo. You can buy that online as well. Thesquareball.net. We'll see you next time.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.